download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Hey, we are back. Second hour of Monday Night Talk. What's even great is our final segment guest is here, Jen Maceda.
That's right. You got it right. Good job.
I watched your video a few times.
Oh, no wonder.
What's even funnier is our next guest is on the line. I can't wait because this is our first bona fide presidential candidate.
I was going to ask you if it was.
Who it is. Hmm. It actually is. And so we're breaking new ground here.
Yeah.
And so joining us is the one and only Ben Glieb. Ben, welcome to Monday Night Talk. Ben, are you there?
Kevin, I'm here.
How goes the battle?
The battle, she continues on. It is intense and exciting and never-ending and 24-7, and it is fun, a lot of fun.
You know, I've teased it that you're somebody, you're a comedian, you're somebody who's been on Chelsea lately. I was a fan of your game show network. Actually, can we tease that? Can we play that real quick, Ben? Just for full disclosure here as to our guest. Play that promo real quick.
An idiot test, sure. Your brain is fair game. These puzzles are more than brain teasers.
Dolly.
Here.
They're brain tasers.
Pew! What? That's hard.
Brain tweakers.
Yeah.
Brain benders.
Sugar!
Brain wreckers. Brain ticklers. It's a brain spanking new season of Idiot Test.
Idiot Test. All new Wednesday, 10, 9 central. Only on GSN.
So, big fan of Idiot Test.
Thank you.
Will there be a president? Now, if you're elected, will there be a presidential celebrity Idiot Test?
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a good question. I mean, the major reason that I am running is to give Donald Trump an Idiot Test every day of this campaign, and he's been failing every day. He's not even getting the first round correct. So I'm happy so far with the results of our testing. The tests are conclusive, and there's no $10,000 prize for the president coming his way.
My goodness. What made you decide to say, you know what, enough? I need to get involved. I want to run for president, knowing that there's a number of folks who are going to be, you know, who already got campaigns underway just like you.
I just realized that nobody was doing it. Nobody is fighting for real people. Nobody that is in politics do I really relate to. Does it seem like somebody that is like me? It's all career politicians and multimillionaires that are in this race, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of people that are not creating systemic change and bringing power back to the people. I'm sick of, look, the reason Donald Trump was elected, and I think he's the greatest heckler in political history, and aside from the fact that to take a heckler down, a comedian is definitely the best shot. Because we're not living in normal political times anymore. We're living in a time where this is a reality show world, and if we don't take that into account, we're going to lose again like we did in 2016. But in a more basic level, even Donald Trump, you have to give him credit because he was speaking to people's discontent. He was speaking to the fact that regular people don't feel fought for, they don't feel heard, they don't feel understood. People are struggling to pay their bills, to be able to pay their rent, to have affordable housing, to pay for health care, to increase the education so our country doesn't lag behind others and we actually can set people up for success in the real economy of the future. And no one's addressing those things. And so it's time that somebody finally did. That's why I hopped my hat right into that ring.
So I have to ask you, I know one of the things that you're trying to do right now is you want to be on that debate stage with those other candidates, and you need, I guess they have set a precedent where you have to have 65,000 donors, even if they all donate $1, you need to have that. You have to need to have that kind of a base. Where do you stand right now in that, as far as that, those numbers?
Well, I got bad news for you on that number. It's even bigger now. Now that we're on the third and fourth debate, it's 130,000 even $1 donations.
Yikes.
But we are well on the way. We have thousands of donations coming in from all around the country. Every single state is supporting us. We've been on the campaign trail. We're making support. I'm about to speak at several big events in Iowa and New Hampshire in the next week and 2 weeks where I'm speaking alongside every major candidate. Some of them will be televised. Some of them will be on the biggest stage. I'm speaking at events where I'm getting to follow Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and all the front runners. So finally people are going to get a chance to see my campaign at that top level, side by side with these politicians, and you're going to be able to see what a real person sounds like next to them. And I think that is when the nation will start going to glebe2020.com and donating that dollar or five or ten or whatever they can afford, so we have the actual resources to compete financially, because we already have the ideas to compete. We just need the money to compete.
Yeah.
And we're getting there. Our fundraising is getting better every single day. We were already the 29th highest fundraising active Democrat campaign this cycle, and we're actively making use of that money in a way much more effective than most of the other eight that are not on the debate stage. We're campaigning all over the country. We've been to many, many states already. We're doing events everywhere and constantly, and doing media constantly, because when we're truly powered by people and truly powered by a grassroots movement of people that actually want real change, systemic change, get the corruption out, get the money out, get the lobbyist money out of our politicians' pockets, so we can actually have people voting for what we care about, then you're going to realize that our campaign is the only choice for you. We're the only one that has no vested interest in politics whatsoever. I have nothing to lose in politics. You know, I'm going to fight for regular people because I am one. I'm a working man my whole life and career, and I know what it's like to try to make those bills in a month, and that's who you need in office.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Megan.
Ben, this is Megan. I got an opportunity to be Kevin's sidekick tonight.
And hi, Megan.
I was really excited about you coming. I've actually liked all of our guests this evening, but Ben was, you're one of my favorites for tonight, because I feel like you're a super celebrity.
He is.
I mean, a national celebrity. You're not just like a Massachusetts celebrity. You're like a national big time.
If the FCC would have allowed us, just for full disclosure here.
What would you have done?
Because he's got this fantastic campaign. I think he did it a couple of weeks ago up in this area. Beers with Ben. And if I could have cracked the beer and had a beer.
You can't do that.
They can't. No, the FCC won't let us. I was
going to
do root beer or birch beer, but we're having the conversation.
We're having beers.
I don't know if that's even true anymore, by the way, because we did in Chelmsford, Massachusetts, we did our big Beers with Ben event, and there was also a town hall meeting. But I was on the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda for 2 years, and I assure you that was real alcohol we were drinking every single day on the air. So.
Well, we're doing like
get away with more than you think.
We're doing fake beers with
Ben
right now.
Package store stat.
Yeah, next time, next, or I'm gonna mental note.
You got it, Mr. T.
Beers.
All right, sorry. Ask your question.
Yeah,
Mr.
well, so
Gleib.
You know, one of the things I think, I mean, a lot of people are running on, but are trying to say that, but I think one of the most interesting things about your candidacy is this keeping kind of the money out of it. You know, I think when you go down the line, I think absolutely you're right, and the majority of the Democrats that are running are career politicians, have tons of money, or are, you know, millionaires, you know. So can you talk a little bit about how hard that is to get this going as kind of just like your average person? You know, I mean, like, I think what you said was really true. Like, Trump had a big appeal to kind of like the everyday person, but he really wasn't an everyday person. Like, you're not an everyday person either. You're a celebrity, but you were more like an everyday person than anybody else. So yeah. How was that to get started with like nothing?
Yeah, it's challenging for sure. And you hit it on the nose with Trump, is that he definitely said the right things. He said that people were being disaffected and left behind and not spoken to directly, but he was not the right deliverer of the solution. He was deliverer of the word, but he continued the pattern of always being a con man. He pretended he's going to be for the people, but he's not. He had his business funded by $100 million when he was born, and has been nothing but a multimillionaire and a billionaire his entire life. So it's been very hard, because I don't have millions of dollars to self-fund my campaign to kickstart it with. I put $10,000 into my campaign to start, and
$10,000. You started with $10,000. That's to be commended. Good job. That's hard to do.
Thank you so much.
$10,000.
And that's for a presidential campaign. We're competing against campaigns that, from their first day, Elizabeth Warren had like $10 million. And Bernie's first day, he had like $50 million at least. I think I'm underreporting those numbers. And we were starting with $10,000. And over the course of these months and these thousands of donations, we're in better financial place, but barely, and our costs rise every single day as we staff up and hire a bigger and bigger crew to support this real grassroots journey to try to bring change to our country. And so if you really want to support a campaign that is not one that is powered by political machines, but is truly just powered by the passion to help change things during a time when it's harder and harder for everyday Americans to make it, then please support with your dollars that you have, whatever few dollars you have spare, a real everyday American running for office, and go to Gleib, G-L-E-I-B, 2020.com, donate a dollar or five or ten. Please do it right now. While you're on the phone, you can still do it. And while you're listening to this radio show, you can still do it. And help us get on that debate stage, because otherwise politics will never change.
So you're already appealing to my producer, who actually, Ben, do you have a quick question for presidential candidate Gleep?
I actually just wanted to say your timing was perfect on the mentioning of your website. I literally, during your just
you donated
talking here,
a dollar?
Checked it right out. I am totally getting one of these We Out Here shirts.
I love that. Thank you. That's even a little bit more money for our campaign to keep powered. So thank you so much for that. We Out Here is one of our slogans because it's another kind of slogan normal campaigns don't have, but we out here. We're regular people out here trying to make a living, trying to make ends meet, and that's the kind of campaign we want to run, one that just never loses sight of who we are.
I've never heard anything more relatable in my life. Thank you for that.
I concur.
You're very welcome.
All about the swag. All about the swag.
That's right.
I want to jump right into, you know, knowing that we're just a couple of short days from those two horrific incidents that took place in Texas and Ohio. One of the things that you have here is in regards to guns. Guns are cool. Kids are better. Could you explain?
Absolutely. I believe in the Second Amendment. I would never want to take away your right to bear arms. And I believe that gun ownership is just woven into the fabric of this country. I like shooting guns myself. So it's another way you know that I'm a regular person. I just believe that kids are a lot cooler than guns, and that kids shouldn't fear them being shot at school, and we shouldn't fear being shot at our movie theaters or our shopping centers or our garlic festivals, for crying out loud. I mean, it's like they're trying to attack every place that we just are going to decompress during an already very stressful life. School is stressful enough. School sucked enough growing up. We all remember that without fear of being shot added on top of it.
Yeah, and they just did a study of this. 87% of school children that they evaluated actually said one of their top three concerns was gun violence in their school. Imagine that, 87%
of students. It's the saddest thing in the world. And they're selling now at sporting goods stores and back to school stores. One of the highest selling items is bulletproof backpacks.
Yeah. Huh.
And if that's acceptable for something to be on a child's mind, is having a backpack that'll stop a murder attempt, a violent mass murder attempt. And if every single person in Congress and the person at the very top of our government does not realize we need to all sacrifice for our common humanity and sacrifice for our children, not our gun rights, not our ability to own or carry weapons, but the ability to have literally weapons of war that shoot without stopping indiscriminately at crowds of people, and in 30 seconds of a shooting in Dayton, Ohio, can kill and severely wound so many people in 30 seconds, then you just have a mental problem that you lack compassion and you lack empathy.
Yeah,
and
well,
you lack the ability.
They do, because they're not.
We do.
Yeah, they do, because they're not doing anything.
And 100%, and we must change it immediately. We must have comprehensive compromise. Let's meet in the middle. We're not trying to take away your guns. We need to invest more in mental health, of course, but we have to take assault weapons off of the streets, and we have to limit the size of these magazines, and we have to just make it so that you cannot commit mass murders in our society. And furthermore, we also just have to love each other more, and we have to have more empathy in our child rearing and have more access for children and young adults to mental health services. But if we can't compromise a little bit on the amount of the type of weapons that we have available to everyday citizens, and we can't do comprehensive background checks to make sure that severely mentally ill people or criminals or those who should not have guns have them, look in the mirror before you go to bed and think about children wearing bulletproof backpacks running from a shooter. And if you don't change your opinion by morning, you're not a human being.
And I find it interesting, you actually quoted on your website that you shouldn't be able to, and this is in regards to background, thorough background checks, you shouldn't be able to get a gun faster than you can get toilet paper on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
He's right.
Come on now.
Yeah, he's right. I know Dix has done some.
You have to wait 2 days to wipe your butt. I think we should be able to wait a little longer for a gun that you're going to own forever. What's the problem? Plus, if you need a gun right this minute, I think probably waiting a few days to cool down might not be a bad suggestion.
Well, and you know, I don't know how you probably can't kill anybody with toilet paper. Maybe you can.
You could.
You can. The worst you can do is just punish their house.
Mummify them or mummify their house. Right, yeah.
Again, no, we're speaking with 2020 presidential candidate Ben Glebe, who is kind enough to be on. I want to give a shout out to Charlie and Laura for helping make this happen. And I want to follow this up with one of the other things that I noted that I was interested in is paring down the prison system. Instead of having redundancies, let's make sure that if whether you're a white collar or blue collar prisoner, you go into the same prison.
Exactly right. So enough of stratifying ourselves and dividing ourselves along all of these unnecessary lines. We focus far too much on our differences and don't focus nearly enough on our common humanity. Now we are all the same. We don't need to constantly be dividing ourselves by party lines and by every single group that we want to identify more than the whole. The groups are flavor on our lives. They are not the essence of who we are. The essence is our common humanity as human beings. And so we certainly don't need also a class system in our prisons. We certainly don't need to allow white-collar criminals to steal the life savings of millions of people and be put in a country club jail that is not at all a punishment environment. They don't even lock the doors on some of these white-collar prisons. And while at the same time you're having people that are in jail for selling weed in their communities just so they could put food on the table for their families, which is not a great thing to do, but it's certainly not a crime worthy of a life in prison next to murderers and rapists. And so if you combine those prisons and you put white-collar criminals in regular lockup, you're going to see two things happen very fast. And nobody else has this idea, but it shows you they're small, in-the-box thinking. You're going to have prison reform very fast because these white-collar criminals would not be able to survive in that system. They would see the realities of it, and you're going to see white-collar crime drop right through the bottom because they're not going to risk being put in a prison they wouldn't survive 5 minutes in.
Ben,
this is the kind of out-of-the-box thinking that we need in this country.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what's interesting is if you go to your website, so the Gleib2020.com and
G-L-E-I-B.
Yep, thank you for that, 2020.com. You know, when you look through, I think you have, like, sort of, like, you really bulleted pointed all of the sort of things that you believe in. It's so common sense. Like, you know, I couldn't find something in your issues, and I actually am a registered independent, believe it or not. I couldn't find something in the way you've laid it out that didn't make sense to me. It's a very common sense strategy. I really hope people go online.
See, here's the thing you have to understand is you can't go to Walgreens and buy a container of common sense and take it. You either have it or you don't. Right, Ben?
That's exactly right. And we need to elect people who have that common sense. That's why I've called myself two things, a compassionate capitalist, and I've called myself a common sense candidate. Just released a speech on my social media channels just a couple of days ago called The Common Sense Candidate, where I outline just all the ways on many more than just the 13 issues that you see on the website. And we're about to be releasing another 7 issues to be 20 issues for 2020, where it's just common sense leading the way we think, and that's the way we can all find middle grounds. And that's why a comedian would be such a perfect choice to lead our country, because we have common sense out the wazoo. Our whole ability to make people laugh is by pointing out the absurdities and how society is doing things wrong and suggesting different ways to do them better, more effectively, more efficiently. That's what my comedy has always been based on, and that's what hosting Idiot Test I was hired to do. It's because I have a particularly developed sense of being able to find the point in somebody's brain where they made a wrong choice and made no sense and led them to a wrong answer, and point out exactly, usually in pretty funny ways, where they went wrong and how their brain could have gone a little bit different, how they could have thought just this little other way in, and they could have arrived at the correct solution that works for everybody. And that's what I would do for our country, is help us with common sense get back to a place where we believe in everything we are doing, because they are things that apply and work for all of us. We need a world and a country that works for all of us. And so if we don't start thinking better and harder and start working together and start agreeing and start focusing more on our commonalities than we do on our differences, we will never have change. And we need to do common sense things that we haven't even talked about yet on the website, but we're about to be unveiling, which is we need an anti-corruption act. We need to get lobbyist money out of our politics.
Amen.
Obviously, we should never, ever allow a lobbyist to fund the campaign of anybody running for office. That could be passed by one bill in Congress. If we just say lobbyists are never allowed to donate to a federal campaign like a federal contractor can't do, boom, right there, you now have them freed forever from the prison of special interest money controlling their decisions. With that one bill, you pass one other very simple bill, which is Congress can only vote on one issue at a time. And that way, you hold them accountable for their votes. That way, you directly tell the people, guess what? I know you didn't vote as you promised me because you didn't vote that way on a clean bill that was just for the 9/11 victims compensation bill or just for cleaner energy investment. You can't say, oh, I wanted to, but there were other things or other poison pills in there and I couldn't vote for that bridge. No, one item at a time. Congress doesn't get so much done. They should be trying to multitask. I do not think Congress shouldn't multitask. Get one thing done at a time. Have clean bills. That way we know what you're voting for or against and if you're lying to us when you run for office again in 2 years or in 4 years. That's the simple things you can do to change our government in such major ways that you finally are more accountable to the people. And that's why our other slogan is take our democracy back. Enough of allowing these greedy elites in power to continue amassing more of the power at the very top and giving lip service to everybody every 4 years about how they're going to fix every damn thing all at once and then never changing anything systemically. We must listen to the people more directly. That's what I pledge to do. And in fact, I'm unveiling a plan in about a week in Iowa during a big speech I'm delivering alongside the other major candidates where I will unveil a plan that none of the other candidates will probably be able to sign on to, a revolutionary idea, or even as president. I will let the American people decide a great amount of the actions that I will undertake as president. I'm going to let the people vote throughout my term, not just once every 4 years.
Ben, if I can kind of throw this out there, you're somebody who has been a political contributor for the likes of CNN, NPR, Huffington Post, ABC News, and more. Are you getting the press? Are you getting the exposure that you deserve? Or are you being shunned by the big media?
Major media.
It's so crazy. They all had me on when I wasn't running for office, when I was safe doing some political comedy for them. They all had me on. And as a candidate, I'm being shunned by most of them. Interestingly, Fox Business and Fox Nation have had me on, and the Young Turks have had me on. And, you know, I just had a conversation with Vice News, and I'm hoping they have me on. But the CNNs and MSNBCs and the major networks have not acknowledged our campaign at all. And I think they are afraid of somebody who's going to upend the system. Trump, they are willing to take the gamble because he brought them such ratings.
Well, he was
somebody
an interesting figure. He was an interesting figure, so they paid attention to him.
Celebrity.
But they would have done the same thing to him, I think, if he wasn't such an interesting figure. They would have done the same thing, I believe.
100%.
We
need the people to do it. Whenever the media ignores somebody who's actually gaining some real traction and doing some real things and saying some revolutionary ideas, that's exactly when you want to double down on that person and donate to that campaign because there's something that they're saying that the powers that be do not want out there.
Mm. What do the other candidates think of you?
Yeah.
Tulsi Gabbard, right? Go ahead.
I was going to say, and if you are able to get up on that stage and debate, do you already have the issues, whether you go after Bernie when it comes to Medicaid or medical for all? Do you go after Elizabeth Warren? Do you go after Joe Biden? Do you go after the heavy hitters, or do you work your way up?
No, I don't know that we have exactly our attack plan figured out for how we plan to go through the field. I know that I don't plan to attack them. I definitely plan to point out differences, and I plan to point out where they have not been in favor of systemic change and have not been as urgent in pushing for that change as they should be, because our problems are dire, our problems are now, and I've had enough of the lip service. But no matter what happens at the end of this race, whether it's me in the nomination or not, we have to unify against Donald Trump, and we have to unify against this person who promised to be for the people but instead seems to be only for special interests, permanent tax cuts just for the rich, not for the rest of us, temporary for us, but permanent for the rich. Isn't that convenient and interesting? And seems to want to impress dictators more than the everyday American people that I meet on the campaign trail.
It's very refreshing. It's unfortunate that you haven't gotten the national media that you deserve. You know, if there's anybody out there listening who knows anybody at CNN, you should give them a call. Tell them
Thank you so much. You're listening to CNN? Because CNN thus far has told me that I'm off brand for them. And I I have a pretty strong feeling that the news shouldn't even have a brand. Your job is to report what happens.
Exactly.
I think the problem, though, Ben, is that there isn't a neutral national medium to be able to offer a candidate like yourself an opportunity, or other candidates like yourself, because you're seeing right now the gravitational pull of each party is either going far left or far right. And we're not only seeing that just on the national level, but we're seeing it in when it comes to local politics these days, too. It's trickling down, like Ronald Reagan once said.
That's exactly right. It's making even stronger and stronger the difficulty to have your own positions and your own staked out opinions. It just is being dictated for us what we believe, and it's because of the dominance of this two-party system that just serves to quell, really, once again, our democracy. And it's another area we have to take our democracy back, and that's why another reform I'm in favor of is ranked choice voting. And what that is that you should be allowed to vote not just for your top choice, but you should be able to rank your top three choices. Ooh. So you can support a smaller candidate like myself.
I like that idea.
You can support independent candidates, and then if that person gets enough support and gets 51%, they win. If they don't, you have not wasted your vote. They just take that name off of the next count, and they go to your second choice, and you keep doing that until somebody gets 51% of the vote.
Whose idea was that?
You can support... I don't know whose idea it was, but I believe in it, and I will fight for it.
It's a great one.
Well, Ben, we want to thank you so much for joining us and talking about your campaign, your presidential campaign. Before we wrap, is there a topic or an issue we didn't touch upon, but you want to at least take a moment to at least whet our listeners' appetite with that final morsel?
Absolutely. I'm going to hit you with two on that if I can. Okay. One is very important to our everyday lives, and one's very important to our future. Our everyday lives are affected by the constant, and I touched on it before, but the constantly growing gap between the very, very elite rich and the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And so we have to take measures to help low and middle income workers in this country. There's plenty of social programs already that help people that don't have jobs and that truly are at the very bottom of our spectrum, but we need to help. Life is still hard for those of us even that are in the middle class and are working very hard every day. So that's why my campaign is in favor of and is fighting for a cost of living tax refund for everybody that works a full-time job or more. Often it's two or three jobs, but if you're working a full-time job, you will get a tax refund sent to you, and you can get it monthly to help you pay those bills, to help you save a little bit for an emergency, to help you maybe start that business you've been wanting to start and start saving towards that. So we need to do things to help everyday people. Our tax system should not be one that the tax check you write is felt, the pain of it is felt by us in the middle class and lower income people in this country, and is not felt by the rich. That's not a redistribution of wealth to tax them a little bit more. They just need to be taxed at the level that they actually feel the pain of writing that check like we all do. That's just simple fairness. And that's just the country we should live in, is one that is fair. So that's what we will fight for on both those ends there. And then for the future is our environment. Our planet is a grave, grave risk. We all know it. 98% of the scientists in the world agree that we need to take drastic measures to get off of fossil fuels and implement most of the principles of the Green New Deal within the next 12 years. Otherwise, we are beyond the point of no return, and we will have mass migration crises. You think we have an immigration crisis badly now, you're going to have everybody moving in from the coast, you're going to have flooding, you're going to have mass homelessness, you're going to have mass problems, extinction of species, and an uninhabitable planet if we do not take action. And so could there be a more dire thing? We must take care of our pocketbook issues and our environment. And we can do both of those things if we start using our brains again. We invest in future technologies, the energies of the future. That way we can compete against China, who's kicking our butt when it comes to those kind of things and is taking the lead on those things. And instead, we can actually regain our economic dominance by investing in the future while saving our lives, the lives of our children. If that's not something we can all get behind, I don't know what is. On day one in my administration, I got us back in the Paris Climate Accord. And on day two, I begin calling every world leader and fighting for a more comprehensive agreement and a more enforceable agreement, one that is much more stringent and aggressive towards addressing the needs that we need to in this country. We all have to sacrifice a little bit. Life ebbs and flows. And we're in a time where things are ebbing a little bit. And if we don't adhere to that reality, we're going to regret it. We can do it together, and life will still be fun. I'll be able to fix these problems and you'll have a comedian as president. So at least when I ask you to compromise, my speeches will be fun and funny, and you'll laugh and you'll smile and be like, oh, all right, let's just do it because it's for the common good, and it's presented in a way that didn't seem scary or lectured at me. But it was through that guy's idiot test that has always made things fun.
Ben, we want to thank you so much for being, I guess, talking about your campaign. Would love to have you back on, maybe, whether it's a couple of weeks, a month, a couple of months, just to kind of give an update to the folks here on the East Coast as to how things are going with the campaign, if you're so willing.
I would absolutely love that. It's been a really wonderful conversation. And please, just if you don't mind, please encourage your listeners to go to GLEAD2020.com, donate a dollar or more so that we have any real shot at bringing this real change to people in a way that really matters to them.
Excellent. Passionate. Best of luck, and we look forward to talking to you again, hopefully real soon.
Thank you
so much, and thanks for watching my game show. It's really nice of you.
I love that game show. All right.
Hashtag passionate.
There you go. Hashtag passionate. Hashtag Ben Gleeb. Hashtag Ben Gleeb 2020.
Hashtag
there you go,
Ben
right
Gleeb
there.
2020.
We got to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.